Woodhouse has been a trusted partner in your everyday since 1975. Shop for your next vehicle with the home team at Woodhouse and the official auto dealer of Nebraska Athletics. Welcome back into Sports Nightly. Very special guest here in studio. Kyle Crooks back with you, but I'm not the special guest. Special guest is the head football coach, and that's Matt Rhule. Coach, you've been very busy nowadays. I mean, one thing to the next. Busiest guy in Lincoln. How are you hanging in? You getting much sleep nowadays?
I'm enjoying every second of it. You know, you're building your team. So it's a lot of work by a lot of people. I want to make sure I add. But we're finishing up kind of in the next couple of days, and then I'll hit the road on Monday, Tuesday for old school high school recruiting.
How about that?
which will be a lot of fun too.
This portal period, just the guys that you have here now and that have signed here from the transfer portal, what do you like about the group that you've brought in and how you're trying to improve this? I'm sure you have a very in-depth plan of how you wanted to improve this football team going into the offseason. How do you think you guys have done that?
Well, I think, first of all, I think you start with Pat Stewart, Keith Williams, Logan Holgorsen, the job that they've done. And I think one thing that I don't know if people spend a ton of time paying attention to is that we basically have re-signed all the guys who played for us. You know, we did lose Keona, and Keona, we wish him all the best. He's a great young man. But, you know, a lot of teams are being stripped of their players, and they were really proactive going into the season. So to get an Isaiah Hunter back, to get Ja'Cory Barney back, those guys have a lot of suitors out there. I think it speaks a lot to the University of Nebraska, to living in Lincoln, to living in Nebraska. It speaks a lot to the culture within the athletic department and certainly our program that Shavers and Lenhardt and Wanneri and all those guys, Andrew Marshall, all these guys who played a ton of football. Because when you have a young team like we had last year, the danger is that people come in and poach those guys away, you know, and then all of a sudden, you know, we're sitting there watching Ole Miss and we're watching Princeville play and like, hey, he used to play for us. And so a lot of people have gone away from high school recruiting as a result of that. We signed less high school kids this year because of the way the world is, but it was a major, major, you know, feat, I believe, to get all those kids back that played for us last year and to be able to push them forward. And then to add in the right players to take us to the next level, to be an older team, to help get us over that hump. And so really pleased with the guys that we have in. We're not done. We have maybe one to two more. I think Pat and his staff have done really, really, really a remarkable job.
What goes into those heart-to-heart conversations, I would assume, when it comes to retention, right? Because there's a lot of people that are reaching out. There's a lot of people that are tampering. It's NCAA football nowadays. That's the reality of what this is. But I assume you have these guys in their exit interviews and the one-on-one. What goes into the heart-to-heart? And I'm sure they ask a lot about, okay, what's the financial piece now? Every single year, it's a new negotiation. So how tough is that, the retention aspect of it?
Yeah, I think the word tampering is dead now. There is no tampering.
It's just the reality.
It's just the process, right? You know, a lot of our guys have representation, so you're dealing with the representation in terms of, or Pat is, in terms of what it would look, you know, financially and the compensation. And obviously, that's a major piece. I think every person probably listening to this, when they're deciding between a job or two jobs, or should I take a new job, which is really what we're talking about, going to a new school is taking a new job. You know, what's the financial piece? And then beyond that is, you know, what's my role moving forward? The hard thing is sometimes guys spend a lot of time thinking about what their role was last year, but it's about what their role will be next year. Mm-hmm. And so not everyone can stay. Not everyone should stay. You know, we've had some really good players leave, and we wish them nothing but the best. I was fired up to see Jason Mashayshak signed at Wyoming. Fired up to see Maverick Noonan, who I love, end up at Fresno. And, you know, I was making calls for Kenneth Williams, you know, trying to help him. Because there's just not going to be enough money. There's not going to be enough playing time to go around for everyone. And that's just the new normal. So there's those things. And then the final piece I always say to guys is, are you happy? You know, sometimes, like, you can just be – it's still college. You still want to have a really cool experience. And so sometimes you know, don't let a certain dollar figure take away your happiness. So, hey, what's my role going to be? What's the financial compensation going to be? And then, you know, are you happy? Are you having a good experience? And so I think that's why we re-signed so many. And I'm also proud of the guys who did leave, who maybe weren't in our too deep. You know, they're signing FBS offers. So I think it speaks a lot about the job we've done building the team.
When you look into your main observations of those last three games of the year and you do this self-evaluation as a program, as a staff, with the new coaches you've you've brought in, the new players you've brought in, what's maybe the message as to what needs to change in the regard of what happened towards the end of the year, the guys you brought in, and how maybe they shift the narrative from what we saw towards the end of the year?
Yeah, the end of the year obviously was not good enough. And I think I think that all came down to coaching. It all came down to, obviously in the bowl game, we were down some key players. We went out, when you don't have Deshaun out there, you don't have some guys you're counting on. I mean, that can affect you a little bit, but it comes down to coaching. I thought we saw a team at the end of the year that, mentally had lost, on defense had lost their confidence. And as I said back then, I put that squarely on myself, but I fixed it. I think Rob Orish has brought in a whole new vibe. He came in, looked at the defensive staff, and picked the guys. It's not X's and O's. It's not like, hey, were we doing the wrong things necessarily. It's just, where our guys were at. And so I think Rob's brought a whole new vibe, a positive energy, a lot of hope and juice. He's hired a good staff. Offensively, I think, Jeep Wade and Lonnie Teasley are going to make an unbelievable difference for us. They're great coaches. And so, that happened. I prefer, for me, as I think about team building, I prefer to think about, being 3 points away from Michigan, 4 points away from USC, and how do we fix that? Take away the mental, emotional kind of thing that happened at the end of the year. I think a lot of that has to do with being better on the offensive and defensive lines. We've worked through that, and we've retained the guys that we felt like we needed. We've added in some key pieces, I think, to make those units the type of unit that can really be dominant. And I think when you look at a lot of other teams in this league that had really good years, they've lost a lot of key pieces because this is no longer, you can no longer hoard players. You now have to have team building, and you have to build a team. And maybe I'll take a little less at this position, have a little bit more here because there's only so much finances, at least for most teams, right? So some teams, maybe have a different thing, but for the most part, everyone's kind of working from the same bucket. And so who can build the best team? And I think we've done a good job of putting some assets into the offensive and defensive lines.
Yeah, and let's go there, lines of scrimmage, specifically defensive line, because I think for the fan base, that's where a lot of the questions came, at least late in the year. Do you feel like this is now a roster, and it's not quite done yet, right? There could be a few additions that come in that can make a 180 when it comes to the line of scrimmage and specifically maybe that defensive line and the production there?
Yeah, and I think, I think it's simplistic just to say it was a D-line, right? I mean, a lot of explosive runs were a safety coming downhill. He's in the, you're going to have your safeties in the fit and missing the tackle and the guy running for 80 yards. So I think it's improving everywhere. I thought during bowl practice, I thought even in the bowl game, though the game obviously did not go our way, a lot of guys had made significant progress. And so, bringing in, obviously on defense, we signed Jasir Whittington, who's a dynamic player from Pitt. Andy from Iowa Western is a really good player that a lot of people in the country wanted. We have another young man on campus today, and so we're not done there. Signing Anthony Jones from UCLA, a guy we went against, and we know how good he is. So we added some veterans to that room, and then also excited to see Cam Lenhart be a senior. Riley Van Poppel, he's kind of stepping into his own right now, and really many more, right? And so Kate Petchock had a great freshman year. Now he's a sophomore. Will Wanneri, got his first year with us. Now he's a junior. So we have the guys in the room that we need. And so and I think Rob has to then put the whole thing together where we're playing not disjointed football, but where we're playing defense as a unit. And it's what we did the first 2 years here. We didn't have as good a year last year. And my pitch has been easy to everybody. Like, hey, we were in the top 10 in defense and everything. The year before I got here, I think it was 108th in rush defense. And then we were in the top 10, and then now we're back, fell back again. So it won't happen again.
From a coaching staff standpoint, it sounds like Corey Brown's going to be in the mix here as the defensive line. And you had said with Zach Gelb the other day that it's just a matter of paperwork, and there's an addition in, hopefully in the secondary as well. And then let's go here because you touched on it a couple of days ago about Coach Eckler and sort of what he'd done to help the special teams unit here at Nebraska. And there's all the rumors out there about him possibly moving on. But you have from hearing you talk, it seems like you have a really good confidence as to what you have internally in that special teams room and how all the guys have helped that unit take a big step.
Yeah, well, I'd say first, defensively, Rob came in and he looked at the guys that were there And what he's done, I think, a great job of is blending, well, who's here that has great relationships and is a great teacher, and how do I utilize them the best? So, you know, Rob Orish, you know, he's always been a coordinator who also coaches the backers. And with Rob Dvorak in that room, so, you know, he'll coach the backers with Rob. You know, we brought in Roy Manning as the edges coach, who's been everywhere and a great coach. Brought in Corey Brown with the D-tackles. And so even just breaking those up and, you know, having the resources, you know, Troy Dannon allowing me to have the resources to hire two coaches instead of one for the D-line, I think will also improve the play that's there. Addison Williams has done a great job. You know, obviously we were I think, third in the country in pass defense last year. I'm not sure how it ended up, but in the top 10 at least. And Addison did a great job with that. And then so we've also added in now we're in the process of finalizing Miles Taylor coming from the Chargers. And I think you look at Miles, you look at Roy, you look at Corey, they've all been in Rob's system, whether it was at, you know, Idaho or South Dakota State or San Diego State. So you have these guys who can accelerate the learning curve. And then you have guys like Addison, you know, guys like Phil Simpson, guys like Rob Dvorak, who've been here, who can also bring the connection with the players. So I'm really excited about the defensive staff. You mentioned Coach Eckler, and he obviously has some decisions to make. He did a great job. I thought our special teams, especially like in the beginning and the middle year, I thought were significantly improved. They certainly weren't, you know, we our goal was to, hey, we're going to make a jump this year and we'll outplay Iowa on special teams. And that didn't happen. So, you know, there's a lot more meat on the bone that we want to do special teams-wise. And we return a dynamic returner in Ja'Cory Barney. Sometimes people ask me about Archie's net punting. You know, you take Michigan State when he was punting the ball into the wind out. You may think he had three that averaged about 20 yards, and all of a sudden that average jumps up to, like, third. So I think Archie's a dynamic young player, and Kyle and John come back, so we get that battery back. We lost our snapper, Kevin Gallick. We just signed Will, so we feel really good about that. And I'm grateful to Mike for what he did. I signed Mike. I brought Mike Eckler here, you know, and he told me he wanted to be here in the state of Nebraska. He's from here. This is where he wanted to be. As I said the other day, you know, during the middle of the year, we were really pleased with what happened, so what was going on. So we signed him, offered him a long-term extension and make him the first or second highest paid special teams coordinator in the country. That came from even from Troy. And so if he doesn't want to be here, I mean, you know, that is what it is. I think this is a special place. I think this is a great place. But I also think this is a place, you know, where, you know, to get it done here when there's a lot of people always looking at you, there's a lot of opinions, there's a lot of things, you better have guys that are in the foxhole with you. And if someone's 1 foot in, 1 foot out, that's not my issue. That's their issue. And so what I do appreciate about what Mike's done is he's a really good man and he's a really good coach and he's taught me a great system. If you look back to the year, all the times I talked about Eck, I would talk about how great of a teacher and coach he is and how, you know, how the teaching progression is the best I've ever seen. So we'll keep that, right? So, you know, he brought Nick Humphrey here, who played for him at Tennessee, worked with him at Tennessee. Josh Martin has been here. And I think the secret weapon we've had has been Brett Maher. You know, people might think Brett just does the kickers, punters, and snappers, but, man, that guy, he really, really understands special teams. So, If and when Eck leaves and moves on, those three guys will take over in some form. We won't change anything. We won't bring anyone in from the outside because the system we have internally is way too good. And we'll just have to do a good job next year of making good decisions. I mean, you can't bring every ball out of the end zone. You know, you can't try to hit a home run every time. We have to be a little bit probably more disciplined in terms of some of the things that we do because it's not about playing special teams for special team's sake. It's about helping the team win. And that's you know, if there's one thing we can do better next year, it's not for the glory of the special teams or of the special teams coach or whatever. It's for the unit. And so not everyone always likes that, but you know, you build a team to win. You don't build a team for stats. And so we will have a really good group of guys who will take over the special teams if Mike leaves. And I think we'll be better than we were.
Chatting with Coach Rule, you know, the quarterback position was one of the big questions heading into the offseason, and you bring in Anthony Calandria, and it was pretty widely reported and out there that you had a quarterback committed, and 24 hours later, here we are with a new quarterback. It's just the way life goes, right? That is the NCAA transfer portal. So can you take me in that 24 hours? The fan base's head was spinning. I'm sure your head's spinning, but you land with a guy here who's a legit stud. Mountain West Offensive Player of the Year.
Yeah, Yeah, I literally, it was about 7 o'clock. I'm getting ready to go home. I hadn't seen my daughters in a while. And Pat Stewart comes walking down the hall. He's like white as a ghost. And he's like, come here. And he goes in. And, the young man's agent was on the phone. And just, you know, at the end of the day, another school came in and, you know, had made a run at another quarterback and kind of had offered him a blank check and got with the family. And hey, they felt like it was better for them in many aspects. And so, you know, we dealt with that. And then it was just like, hey, let's quickly turn. So, you know, we called Logan. A lot of people were home already, right? We called Logan Holgerson in the room. Pat sat in the room. I sat in the room. Jarrett was on. My chief of staff sat in the room. A couple other guys maybe. It was like, hey, who's out there? And who's left? And because it's never about who's gone. It's about who you have. And we're blessed that we have TJ Lateef, who, after everything TJ went through this year and now another offseason, man, he's going to be dynamic. So we weren't in, like, desperation mode, but our job is to put together the best quarterback room possible and let the guys battle it out. So, there were some guys that we thought were going other places, and then that had fallen through. So just like this young man kind of made a commitment to us and then walked away, as bad as that could maybe look, there's other kids that had made a commitment somewhere and the school had said, hey, you know what, we're going to go another direction. So it's really a weird time, and so nothing's official till it's signed. And a lot of people said to me, well, why didn't you guys sign it? Like, try dealing with an agent. Like, you give them the paperwork, they redline it, it goes back. Jonathan Bateman works here for us, does a great job. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's multiple contracts, there's multiple things, and the agents go back and forth. And so, you know, we felt like once it was announced on ESPN, it was probably legit. It didn't turn out that way, right? Some of these things take 3 days. Some of these things take a week for them to agree on all the different terms within the contract. So so we started looking, hey, who's out there, right? And so we had really three guys. And I got on the phone with everyone. It was very transparent. Like, hey, listen, we're bringing this guy in. He gets it first, and we're bringing this guy, then we're bringing this guy. Along the way, Jarrett, Jarrett's not a football coach. You know, he played football. He was 24 years law enforcement, Charlotte PD, and then into the ATF, and he sat there. And I remember him saying, he's like, you know, guys, I know we have our pecking order that you guys have kind of described, but, like, why don't – if Calandria can be here tomorrow morning, why wouldn't you just bring him in? And we're like, wow, it just feels kind of awkward. This guy's going to come in, then this guy. And we said, you know what, we shouldn't do that. And he kind of sat back quietly, and they said again, because I just want to say it again, guys, like, why would we not get the first guy in here as soon as possible? And we did it. So Anthony came in, and I'll tell you, like, they come in and, like, they kind of come out to the field and they kind of, you know, walk in, and our whole staff's there to meet every recruit, right? And I watched him get out of the car. I shook his hand. I met his mom and his dad. Watched him as he shook everyone's hands. And as we're walking in, I turned around to Logan. I said, that's our guy. Like, you could just feel the charisma, the juice, the energy. And then we brought another young man in who was awesome too. And then we had a third guy that was supposed to come in. But at the end of the day, like, we went back, we watched Anthony's tape. And I think a great lesson for us is, like, when you can watch the game tape all you want and see, like, hey, he drops like this, this player drops like this, they throw it like this. But, man, I put on, like, his game tape highlights. And it's like when he touched the ball at Virginia and when he touched the ball at UNLV, he was electric. And I think that's kind of what we need. Like, for Dana to really go be Dana Holgerson and to, like, go let it rip, just to be aggressive, we need a playmaker. And I felt that about Anthony. So we pivoted, went to Anthony. He took it. We had to make two hard calls, which we did. One young man was on campus. One was on his way there. They both found great spots. But we came away with Anthony. And then, you know, sometimes things happen and they're really hard. But one of the things, like, I walk in the building. I have so much joy in my heart right now that Danny Kalen is in this building. Like, he's supposed to be a Husker. A lot of people, you know, like, oh, I love Nebraska. And that's what Nebraska can do for them. Like, Danny wants to be at Nebraska. And, you know, when he left, I understood it. And I told him, if you ever want to come back, you can always come back. And so we right now have three guys. We have three guys in our building that started an FBS game this year. We have three guys in our quarterback room who have started Power Four games. Not many people have that. And so I think we'll have great competition. I think we'll have a lot of energy and juice. I think it's a good example. When something bad happens, like the young man decommitting from us at the last minute, instead of panicking, instead of being like, oh, you know, man, I looked at it as an unbelievable challenge, and I think we came away better. And that's not a shot at anyone. I just feel like Anthony Calandria is the right guy to bring in the portal. TJ Latif is the right guy to continue to develop. And then Danny Kalen, he's a Husker. He needs to be here. And I hope everyone really appreciates Danny coming back here and what that says and what that means, knowing the room, knowing, because he didn't come in before those two guys. He knew what was in the room, but he's a Nebraskan. He's a Husker. And he wanted to get in the foxhole with us. And that's how I look at this. I look at this right now like, hey, man, who's in the foxhole with us? A lot of guys tell me they're in the foxhole, and when things get hard, they're not there anymore. Mm-hmm. Danny came running back to jump in that foxhole. I can't wait to see what he does.
What's that dynamic like now in the quarterback room? There's tough conversations that have to be had, and you know, I'm sure TJ's scrolling through Twitter and sees news that, okay, Anthony Calandry is coming in.
Well, let me say this, because sure. I love talking to you. TJ didn't find out about these guys on Twitter. Like that's not how we do things.
Sure, sure.
TJ, his representation, his family, they were communicated to ahead of time. And I think mm-hmm. when you ask about retention, I think that's why, because we're straight up, we're honest. Like, we're probably the only staff in the country that told guys that wanted to play more, hey, go in the portal, and if you don't get what you want, you can come back. Like, not many people are doing that. Like, but we are transparent, and then we take care of the players who are transparent with us. Like, if you go behind our back and you're making calls and all that, like, that's not the way I do business. I'm not teaching them anything about being an adult. So I don't deal with those guys. But the guys who walk in our offices and they're like, ah, coach, I want more money. Maybe I want to play more. We deal with those guys great. So TJ, to your point, what you're about to say, and please forgive me for interrupting you, but I think it's really important. We reached out to them proactively before he had even signed his deal. And he knew Calandry was coming in, and TJ still signed his deal because he's a competitor. And Anthony's a competitor, and then Danny did hit. He's a competitor. There was no, like, walk in and, oh, he's here. No, they all knew it. Mm-hmm. And that's what I think is so cool about that room. And I think our team is really going to gravitate to that quarterback room.
Yeah, I think that answers a lot of questions and things you've always said about the confidence of TJ Latif. No matter what the situation is around him, he's going to have a confidence and an understanding of what he has to do to compete for that number one job. So I think that's important that you brought that up. You brought in some playmakers on the offensive side as well, Kwazi Gilmer, who we went up against at UCLA as well. And you said it before, and I think when you watch the games, you could see it. You wanted a little bit more explosiveness from the offense. How do you think maybe this team is going to be situated moving forward with a guy like Anthony or TJ, whoever, Danny, whoever's playing quarterback, in terms of the explosiveness of this offense that you want to see, and now how this team is situated to maybe help Dana's system along a little bit better?
Yeah, I think we took a lot of sacks last year. And I think when you're an offensive coordinator, it's really hard to call the game the way you want when you're not sure if you can call a pass play or not because you might take a sack. And so I think I thought we ran the ball really well, but we struggled. You know, we struggled. And it's easy to say, well, that's on the offensive line. But sometimes it's on the quarterback. Sometimes it's on the offensive line. Sometimes it's on the back. Sometimes it's on those guys getting open. So we went into it. We really like our receiver group. You know, we think Isaiah had some dynamic moments. Ja'Cory's been a dynamic player. You saw Quinn Clark in the bowl game, mm-hmm. you know, catch a fade for a touchdown, catch a fade on the left sideline. Keelan Smith, Cortez Mills, lots of really good young players that we think can start. But Kwazi was a special one, right? You know, he brings elite speed and the ability to go out there, if you want to play man, and he can win one-on-one. You know, they played Penn State. He gets behind him, makes a contested catch for like a 50-yard play. Caught a ball, caught a corner route against us 2 years ago, caught the ball at the 11-yard line on the left numbers facing the North Stadium. Like, I only know that because when he showed up, I made him meet me right there. I was like, you caught that ball right here. But I think, you know, he brings a dynamic nature. And so if you have a quarterback like Anthony or like TJ or like Danny who's proven that they can extend plays, and you can call those plays not worrying about, hey, what's going to happen. If you have an offensive line, and what we've done on the offensive line, we're really excited about getting those guys to really develop. And so we can run it or throw it at any time, and you don't know what we're going to do. And then to have the weapons that we have and to have add in Kwazi. And then, you know, I never want to take away Luke, like what Luke can do inside. And Carter Nelson came on at the end of the year. So Kwazi is a great addition. And it was really cool. You know, Sierre Wright was really big in that. You know, Sierre and Kwazi grew up, knew each other. Sierre talking about to Kwazi, at least what Sierre told me, about how much this place affected him, how he came here a football player and left a pro, how he came in here a young guy and left a man, and what Nebraska, what the University of Nebraska, what the football program, what living here has done for him, getting out of L.A., getting out of his comfort zone, coming here, how much of an impact it's had on him. And so Kwasi, you know, could have gone to a lot of places, and he decided to come here. So, yeah, I think it's going to allow us to be more explosive, along with kind of all the other components I just talked about.
Running back room. Emmett Johnson, one of the better seasons we've seen in over a decade here at Nebraska from that position. Mekhi Nelson had a pretty good bowl game, couple of explosive runs. Isaiah Mosey, I know you guys are really high on. Quentin Ives, Connor Booth. There's a lot of names in that room. In terms of what's the confidence level that you have a featured back or a 1 and a 1A in that group that can really excel here in the Big Ten?
Yeah, we haven't, you know, obviously we look through everything. We look at everything. We evaluate every position. We evaluate every guy in the portal. But we like the running back room. You know, Mekhi has the home run ability that we talked about. Mosey he's a big back who's shifty, who can catch the ball out of the backfield too. Quentin Ives got in the bowl game. And, you know, a lot of our season comes back. If you go back through our season, whether it's the first drive against Michigan, whether it's the first drive against Penn State, whether it's, you know, the decision to go for it or kick a field goal at USC late in the game, a lot of it came down to our ability to convert short yardage plays. And, you know, obviously Jeep brings a different dynamic in terms of the things he likes to do in those situations. But Quentin Ives, in the bowl game, we went for 3rd-and-1. We went for 4th-and-1, and he got them all. And so we've been bringing Quentin along, and now we feel like he can fill some of those roles too. And then you mentioned Connor Booth. You know, we have a great young group in that room. And then I would not forget about Jamal Rule, yep, who was a highly, highly touted guy that came in, and we got a chance to see him in bowl practice. So, you know, when you look at the portal, if you don't lose a ton of guys, there's only so much money you have to compensate the rest of it. And when we look at the running back room, we believe in those guys, and we're going to roll with them.
When you look at the college football playoff and some of those teams that are left in Miami and Indiana, and we know what Kurt Cignetti has done, but the common theme that you see in these playoff teams, and, you know, I don't want to put this on you, but, you know, how close do you feel Nebraska is to taking that next step that fans are hoping for?
Yeah, I don't think we're in any position to say where we are. I think we just have to work. You know, you can't come off the end of last year and then start selling, hey, we're going to do this next year,
sure,
right? Like, for us, it's about killing the portal. I mean, you watch those teams. You know, they play great defense. You know, Miami went out and brought in a new defensive coordinator from Minnesota, right? And with great players that they have at Miami and a great defensive scheme, they're dominant on defense. Bryant Haynes at Indiana, you know, Bryant's an elite defensive coordinator. So they both play great defense, and they both have veteran quarterbacks who make the plays to win, right? And so we believe Rob's going to give us a great defense. We believe that we have three quarterbacks who can win, and then putting the pieces around them and putting the offensive line in front of them to allow them to be successful, I think is really all we can focus on right now. And we will humbly just kind of grind through this off season and get ready for a great year.
You've talked about this in the past, just about calendar and things that and how crazy it is right now in college football. Is this financial model, what we're doing right now, it can't be sustainable, right? I mean, this is a really tough way of going about, one, the calendar, but the year in, year out free agency that you have here in college football. This is tough.
Well, I mean, it is what it is, right? We are where we are, you know. And I don't think it's going away. I don't think it's changing. I don't think just even legally, I don't think it can change anytime soon. It might morph into something that's better and more sustainable, but just is what it is. So, you know, my thing is, you know, we're blessed at the University of Nebraska. We're a top brand. You know, we sell out all of our games. We're financially stable. So, my thing since being here is I think we should be one of the top teams in the country in terms of player acquisition and player retention. You know, if we want to have Final Four volleyball teams, we need to have great volleyball players. If we want to have undefeated basketball teams, we need to have we need to have great players. And if we want to have college football playoff team, then we need to have great players. And so Troy Dannon has done an amazing job. The board, they've all done a great job of helping us modernize and get there. And my challenge would be, like, you know, Miami was dead. Football was dead at Miami. And they've been investing. It didn't happen just last year. They've been investing for many years, and look, they're back. Texas was dead, and look, they're back. So you have to invest. Indiana, you know, what they've done is remarkable, but they invest. And some of that's starting to come out right now, how much they invest, right? So the Mark Cubans of the world and all that, like they invest. And so I'm proud to be at Nebraska. I love the way that we're beginning to really step up the investment. And I think you're starting to see it in the portal with some of the guys that we got, some of the people that we built beat on those guys, that, you know what, this is a great place. We just need to get people here, show it to them, and then keep them here.
Before you know it, we'll have spring football, and it sounds like you've said before we're trending back to a normal spring game. Would that be fair to say that we're heading in that direction?
Yeah, you know, they got rid of that spring portal, so we'll play a spring game, and you know, because of the portal and how many new players come in, we've moved our spring up. So instead of the traditional late spring model, we're going to get our guys in here. They're in here right now. They started, you know, on Monday. They're training. They're going to train for 5 or 6 weeks while we're on the road recruiting. And we're actually going to start spring ball in late February. And we're going to go for 3 weeks at a really accelerated rate, because I want all those guys that came in from, whether it's Tree, who came in from South Carolina, or Paul Mubengo, who came in from LSU, or Jamal Rule, who came in from high school, I want them to get into the football. I want us to see where our team's at. I want a little bit more time if a guy gets injured to have him back before the season. So a lot of Southern teams do early spring balls, or at least they have in the past. It's a little bit harder to do when it's a little bit colder area, but we're going to do it. And so we're going to go, and then we're going to take a split at the spring break, and then we're going to come back in the last week and have the spring game on the 28th. And, you know, my thought is, you know, that that spring break week, we're going to treat it like a bye week. You know, it's a one bye week year next year, so we're going to let the guys go for a week and come back that following Sunday, Monday, and say, hey, you have a week to get ready for the game. We'll play the game on the 28th. And I think baseball and softball play that day. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm sure it'll be on the Big Ten Network so people can see kind of, you know, the direction we're heading and what we have.
Excited for that. And also announced today the addition of flag football, women's flag football, as a varsity sport here at Nebraska. I believe that'll be become a varsity sport in 2028, but there's a ramp-up process. It was announced today. They'll have a press conference coming up next week. But how about that? Really, really exciting. I know you're a champion of women's sports and specifically flag football.
I think it's great. You know, it's if it's in the Olympics and this is the greatest football state in the country, I think it should be here. I think it should be in our high schools. I think it should be in our youth programs. I think it's great that the university made this decision. You know, we started the She Got Game girls flag football camp last year or 2 years ago. We support it. We had the flag football game with our young ladies here. I think it was versus Midland. I can't remember who it was. I think it was Midland last year before the spring game. So what a great way to grow the sport. And, you know, I have two little girls at home who love volleyball, love basketball. And now that this is available and knowing that they can go play it in college and maybe someday even in the Olympics, I can't imagine the doors that it's going to open up. So I think we have the greatest fan base in the country. I think we have the most knowledgeable fan base in the country. And I think this is just going to grow the sport even greater and let more people play it and play it at a high level. So kudos to Troy, Dan, and kudos to Dr. Gold and everyone that's involved. It's something that we've dreamt about since we got here, and I'm glad that it's happening.
Yeah, really cool. Really cool news coming out. Coach, thank you so much. You're the man, hopping in here for about 30 minutes. And just, I know fans really want to hear from you. And this is just such a crazy time. Hopefully at some point you can get some sleep, you know, close your eyes a little bit. I know we're not quite there yet. Transfer portal's still going on and you're still, churning out visits and things like that and settling a coaching staff and a roster. But here we are. We're getting a little bit closer to spring ball and some normalcy. How about that? Sounds good?
Let's get to spring ball. See everybody the 28th.
That's Coach Rule. Appreciate Coach's time for joining us here on Sports Nightly. We have more of the show coming up after this.